Just a reminder of the theme, facing an uncertain future. So often on this first Sunday of a new year, people expect to come and see the wise men and have a talk about the visit of the wise men. I felt that wasn't what God wanted me to talk about today. So if that's what you've come expecting to hear, I'm sorry. We're going to look at Joshua. And we're looking at Joshua because I think for so many people, the future is uncertain. The future, maybe for some, is a bit frightening. And some years ago, we used to sing a children's song. You have to be a certain age, maybe, to remember it. But I still got the tune in my head whenever I was preparing this. Be bold, be strong. Hands up if you remember that children's song. Oh, lots of you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And you can all do the actions, can't you? There they are. There's the words. Do you remember that? We are not dismayed. Not me. That'll do. Okay, that'll do. I promised the elders this would be a relatively short service, so. Those words are incredible, I think. They're simple, and it's so lovely to have a children's song that's exuberant and that the children love, that's full of truth. Full of truth. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And the reason I'm talking about that this morning is I think those sentiments are just what God would want us to hear at the beginning of a new year. Beginning of a year that for many is filled with worry and anxiety, with strikes and prices going up and how are we going to cope. So many people are in that position. And God's promise is be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I believe that's what he wants us to take away this morning. We saw in that reading that Lynn's just read, Joshua taking over the leadership of the Israelites. And I don't know whether you're thinking, what's this got to do with what we're thinking about, anxiety and that? Can you just put yourself in the place of those Israelites? For 40 years, they've had one leader. Now, 40 years is an incredible, 1983 just, I mean, if we were doing this talk yesterday, it would have been 1982. 40 years ago, 1983. Can you imagine having the same leader, say in a church setting, the same minister since 1983? And that leader was inspirational. That leader was fantastic. That leader did everything and was in touch with God in such a strong way. And then they've gone. Can you imagine how those Israelites feel with a young, not young, he wasn't young, Joshua, younger than Moses, but untested, an untested new leader. And they're about to go into the promised land after 40 years. God has promised them that land. And the plan is, we're now going to go in and take that land. And it's full of scary people. And so they've got an untested leader just about to go and do something that's really, really challenging. And I think we can put ourselves in their position because many of us are feeling those uncertainties. We're facing something really challenging, something that makes us anxious. And we can put ourselves in that position. That's where they were. What's interesting is to look at why they were in that position. Why had they been wandering around for 40 years in the desert? Now, many of you will know the story, but for those who don't know the story, and you'd like to read it in full, it's in Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. But in a few sentences, 39 years earlier than what we're looking at now with Joshua, 39 years earlier, God had said to Moses, tell the people to go into the land and scout it and have a look and see what it's like before I take you into it. And 12 Israelites went into the land of Canaan, and they came back and reported. And 10 of them said, it's too scary. The people who live there are too big. The land is too hostile. No, it's too scary. We shouldn't do it. And only 2 people, Caleb and Joshua, said, what they said is true, but God said he's given us this land, so of course we should go. God has said he's giving it to us. Of course we should go. But the other 10 held sway, and they didn't go. The other 10 persuaded everybody. And God's punishment for that disobedience, he said, none of this generation will see the promised land. None of this generation. So that's why they wandered around for 40 years, because that generation had to die. Even Moses died before they went in the promised land. Nobody other than Caleb and Joshua, the 2 people who said, of course we should go, because God said he's going to give it to us, so of course we should go. Those 2 were allowed to see the promised land. None of the others of that generation were, and that's why they wandered around for 40 years. So they didn't get to where they ought to have got, when they ought to have got there, precisely because they were not bold. They were not strong. They did not believe the Lord their God was with them. It was precisely because they weren't those things and didn't believe those things that they wandered around for 40 years. So let's look at this passage now with that as the backdrop. Here we are 40 years later, and they are now going to go in. And the Lord saying to this new untested leader, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. And in verses 1 and 2, he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. So he repeats what he'd said 39 years earlier to Joshua. Prepare to go in. And what I love about Old Testament is that the principles are timeless. People often think about the cultures are so different than they are, but human nature is the same. And so the principles are timeless. The things they wrestled with are the things we wrestle with. Fear, anxiety, and all those things are the same things. And what we see as a timeless principle from those couple of verses is the work of God goes on no matter what. There's a change of leadership, but the work goes on. There's a pandemic, but the work goes on. There's a cost of living crisis, but the work goes on. If you're bold, courageous, and believe that the Lord your God is with you. The work of this church will go on despite the pandemic, despite the cost of living crisis. If we look to God, if we're bold, if we're courageous, if we believe the Lord our God is with us, the work of this church will go on. And one of the things I think was brilliant about the pandemic, and let's be honest, there weren't many things that were brilliant about the pandemic, was that God connected this church with people through technology in a way he would not been able to do otherwise. And people have come into our fellowship as a result of seeing us online, which wouldn't have happened otherwise. God's purposes just went on. They just went on in a different way. And that's where we need to be bold and have courage, is that sometimes God does things in a different way, and some things have to happen to allow that different way to go ahead. But we just simply need to be in tune with what God's asking us to do, as Joshua was. He says to Joshua, you're going into that land. If we can attune to what God's trying to tell us individually as a church, and then we get in line with his plans. How often is church planning? We decide what to do, and then we take it to God in prayer. It's better than not taking it to God in prayer, but it's the wrong way round. We don't decide what to do and take it to God in prayer. We try and discern what God wants us to do and then do it. That's the way round we should try and do it. But to do that, we need to be bold and be strong and believe that the Lord our God is with us. So let's go on into verses 3-5. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. In those verses, another timeless principle is a pattern repeated over and over again in the Old Testament. What you get is God giving a promise followed by a command. I promise this, I want you to do that. That's quite a common thread in the Old Testament. And what we've got here is God promising all sorts of things. I'm going to give you all this land. There's a promise. I'm going to give you all this land. But for Joshua, surely the biggest and the best promise was, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Just imagine this untested leader hearing that. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And because of Jesus, we can look at that and say, as God was with Joshua, he is with us. Through Jesus, we know that God is with us. And we can take that promise. As God was with Joshua, so he will be with you. So he will be with me. But the promise, and what a promise, I will be with you always. That's followed by a command. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous. God doesn't want us to be cautious and timid. We'd be no good to God, would we, if we just lived very quiet, holy lives, but we were cautious and timid. Because what God wants us to do with our faith is to share it, to make a difference. And we can't do that if we're cautious and timid. So the command to be bold and be strong, I keep using the words in the song, don't I? It's be strong and courageous, is actually what Scripture says. Be strong and courageous. To be strong and courageous is what he wants us to be, not cautious and timid. But he goes on with more commands. In 7 and 8, he's telling us to regularly study God's word. We have a command to learn. After he says, be strong and courageous, he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Know God's word. That's the command. Know God's word. But the even stronger command is obey God's word. Know God's word. You have to know it to obey it. So that's really, really important. And how do we do that in our fellowship? Well, there's all sorts of ways you can do individual Bible study, and one of them is the one I said in the notices. We're just about to do daily readings to go through the whole New Testament. Today's, in case you don't know, quite obviously, if you're doing the New Testament, it's Matthew chapter 1, the first chapter of the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to go home and read Matthew chapter 1 today, you'll have started that process. So that's one thing we can all do. We can study the Bible individually, and there's all sorts of Bible notes that you can buy to help you understand stuff that you might not understand by yourself. You can join a fellowship group and study the Bible in a group. 10 people know more than 10 times the amount one person knows. There's something magical about a group. There's more knowledge in a group than anybody would ever, I think. Join a group. Study on your own. Come to church. Whatever, there are ways, pray. There are ways that we can discern what God's trying to teach us. But he's saying here, know the word. But he says twice, do it. Obey the word. Live out the word. Now finally in verse 9, the first command is reinforced. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I don't know if you know, but do not be afraid is the most common command in Scripture. It's the thing that God tells us to do, a command, more than any other command in Scripture. Do not be afraid. And we understand that if you're a parent. We say to our children sometimes, don't we, don't be afraid. And we don't say it because there's nothing to be afraid of, because sometimes there is. We say it because we're there to look after them. We are there to take care of them. So it's do not be afraid because I'm here. Not do not be afraid because there's nothing to be afraid of. Do not be afraid because I'm here to look after you. And that's the way God's telling us. He's not saying don't be afraid because there's nothing to be afraid of. There's an awful lot of stuff in life to be afraid of. He's not saying it for that reason. He's saying don't be afraid because I'll look after you. Don't be afraid because I am with you. And it is just like the parent-child relationship. As a parent, you can't make all the bad stuff go away. But you can be there. And being there is so important to the child. Being there. And that's God and the relationship he wants with us. We will go through difficulties. We all do. But what we want and what he promises that he'll be with us as we do that. We're not to be afraid, because what we're doing in church, what we're doing in the community, what we're doing in our own lives, it's God's work. It's not our work. It's God's work. And if we're in tune with God, if we pray and listen to him, if we read his word and absorb what it says and try to live it out, we can just relax and say, this is God's work. I run the Alpha course, and I sometimes worry, as you would have observed this morning, we've only got one person signed up for the Alpha course. That's a cause for some concern in some ways. But it's not my work. It's God's work. What I've got to do is pray. What I've got to do is to try and encourage other people to pray, to invite. But it's God's work. If people come, it's because God's moved people to come. And if people don't come, well, maybe the time just isn't right. Who knows? But we have to play our part, but we relax having played our part, that this is God's work. He's in control, and that's why we can be strong and courageous, because God's in control. And because the Lord, our God, is with us. That is the most important thing in all of this. We can be told to be strong and courageous. We can try to be strong and courageous. But the most important thing is to just know that the Lord your God is with you. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you.